Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. We're so excited that you're with us. Each and every week, we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to have some discussion around what it means to live an intentional life. So let's listen in as we try to get real together.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. My name is Brandon Ginden, and I'm the senior pastor at Real Life Ministries Texas. And I am here with my good friend and ministry partner, Lori Arnold.
Hey friends.
And we are so glad that you are with us today. And we today are closing out a series that we have been in for the last few weeks that has been, I think, a fun series. It's been a challenging series. And hopefully for you, if you've listened to any of these, these last few weeks has been just a blessing to you as we've been in a series on the armor of God. And what that looks like lived out in our everyday life. And our podcast that Lori and I do together is this whole thing about what does it look like in real life? And for how do we walk this out and to take biblical principles and ideas from the scripture and put them into real life? And that's what we're trying to do and help you to do. And so if you have missed any of our previous series or episodes that we've had on this podcast, I encourage you to go back and listen and also share them with your friends. And so it's this has been a fun journey for us on this podcast, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And today is going to be another one that we're excited to talk about in closing out this series of the armor of God. And we're going to be looking at the sword of the Spirit. And as Paul talks about in closing out the armor of God. And so what I want to do first is read, go back and give again a little bit of context from Ephesians chapter 6. And again, I'm going to read from verse 14 on. And the word of God says this, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Amen." I wanted to read out the kind of the end of that section, because I think some of the things that Paul says after he talks about the sword of the Spirit are in light of the sword of the Spirit, because the sword is different than the rest of the armor. The sword it can be a defensive weapon, but it's also an offensive tool. And all of the other pieces of the armor of God are what help us to stand firm. You know, Lori, on our last episode, we talked about this helmet of salvation and knowing whose we are and who we are in Christ and how that helps us to stand firm. And the other pieces as well, the shoes and the belt and so on. But with this piece, Paul changes it a little bit, and he indicates what I would use rather than just standing. It's now kind of going on the offensive. Mm-hmm. We see the sword being used to advance, whether that be through prayer or that we that we have this idea of the gospel going forward because we're speaking it.
Yeah.
The word of God is being spoken, that he shared, and it's also shared in through prayer that we're praying for one another. And so this idea, the sword of the Spirit, which he says is the word of God, that the words of God are used like a sword. Now, this sword that he's describing, the word in the Greek and in the description, the Roman sword that he's talking about, it's a short sword that's even can be kind of compared to like a dagger, but it's sharp on both sides, and it can be used for blocking, or it can be used for slashing or cutting. And it's different than a spear, because I think one of the things I want us to look at when he's talking about is the sword is an up close and personal weapon. Like you don't throw it, right? You're in hand to hand combat. And if we think about that analogy in the world today, that it, again, we're not fighting against this, trying to maim or kill the person, but understanding that we're using the sword in an offensive way to drive out darkness, to combat the schemes of the devil. Daniel McCoy at Renew talks about, in an article he wrote on the sword of the spirit, it's really good. He talks about this principle that the sword is something that drives out darkness, helps the kingdom to advance. I love that analogy that he uses. And so, Lori, maybe for you, you know, let's pick up there of kind of thinking about how the word of God, the words of God, when we use them, drive out this darkness, or what that looks like in our lives.
Yeah. I think about like in a discipling relationship, when I'm discipling someone, sometimes I'm going to have to speak truth into their lives, you know, and that's not always, it doesn't always feel good when people do that to me.
Right.
You know, sometimes people tell me stuff that I don't want to hear, and they remind me of truth that I don't want to hear at the moment, because for whatever reason, I want to keep doing what I'm doing, you know? So in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And so when we are using the sword of the spirit, and when I'm discipling someone and speaking truth into their lives, kind of like what you mentioned before, it's not to hurt them. It's not to injure them.
Right.
However, sometimes, like I said, it does sting a little, it does hurt, and there are wounds, you know, and, but it's for the good. It's for God's good. And so, we have to do that. And the beautiful thing about scripture is it stands on its own.
Right.
And so, and they are true words. They are God's words, and there's power in his word, and there's power in truth. And so when I'm reminding people of the truth, or telling them even for the first time that they've never heard, you know, there's power in that, and there's healing.
For sure. That's just really good. I think there's two parts of it. We can speak truth and speak the spirit, the sword of the spirit and the word of God, speak it into people's lives that confront maybe a lie that can cause a wound. But there's also another side of it, is that we speak truth and it can lift up and edify.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's a word of encouragement. Somebody needed that day. Yeah. They were kind of down in it. And so I think sometimes that when those principles, I hope this makes sense, when you run it out too far, like, and it gets into a place to where I have forgotten that the spiritual battle is not with that person. Yeah. It's just in the heavenly realms. If I view that person as my enemy, or that I may speak the truth in a way that is to injure and to harm them, not in a loving way, right? That's where we get this whole idea that in the church, we beat somebody over the head with the Bible or whatever, like the classic characterizations that happen in Christianity of people, I think, misusing or doing it in a way that's just harmful and destructive. It's not done in love.
Yeah.
The other side of it also goes out too far to where we, you know, use a scripture that sounds really nice and flowery just to make somebody feel better and not right. And we can go too far that way.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think those two principles, okay, how do we stand in this and use the word of God appropriately? And when do we use this and bring it into the situation and all of that and not to injure? Cause I'm telling you, you know, I think one of the silliest things that have ever been said in the one of is sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never harm me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've had things in my life where I would have rather somebody busted my arm than some of the words they said to me.
Words can hurt.
Words can hurt and stick for a lifetime. And so I think using it in a godly and healthy and loving way is critical. And, you know, Paul, when he's talking about this, he says in verse 18, he says, praying at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. So we must continue, persevere, and move forward. But then he says, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So God gives us the words to speak into a situation, to speak truth in, to speak the gospel. And so maybe kind of some of that, Lori, how you've done some of that in a healthy way or in a good way, what that's looked like in your life.
Well, like you said, God gives us the words and there's freedom in that. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit teaches us how, teaches us what to say and how to say it.
Yeah.
And so I know that it can be very scary at first, you know, when, especially if you're new to your walk in the Lord and this relationship with God and you don't really know exactly what you're doing. It can be a little bit scary. You don't know what to say to people when you're going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
But I always pray and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. And he does. He teaches me how to wield my words, you know, so that they are speaking truth, also in love and driving out the enemy schemes. And, you know, so I think that's one of the big things that we've got to do is to constantly, like you said, to pray and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance.
Yeah, that's really good. I think also a critical piece of this that you said is speaking the truth, so God's truth, into the situation. So there's a couple things that I think about that is, one, we need to know it.
Right.
And so we have to ourselves, you know, it's one of the things we talk about a lot. It's so much of this, you know, about getting real in this relationship and intentional life of walking with Jesus. So many of that, so much of that starts from a place of abiding in Christ. Mm-hmm. That being able to utilize the sword of the Spirit, speaking the word of God, isn't going to happen just, you know, I mean, certainly God can do a miracle and give us a word that we had no idea or we had never read it, but the practice of our life is to spend time in the word and to know it so that the content is in us.
Yeah.
So that we know it. We have scripture. We have a truth to give to somebody. Because I think one of the most destructive things in our day and age is the whole principle around truth that now, you know, culturally is, well, you know, my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth. No, I don't have my own truth.
Right.
You don't have your own truth. It is God's truth,
right?
Period. And then we look to it and align to it. We don't get to define truth. We're not the definers of truth.
Right.
And so that part is so critical. So I have to know what God's truth is so that I can speak it into. Paul knew the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so therefore he spoke the gospel into the situations of where God had sent him. And so maybe for you, how, you know, utilizing the sword, what does that look like for you of being able to speak that truth into people's lives or put that truth and content in you? You know, kind of how have you learned, I guess, to say to utilize the sword or have the sword in your hand? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, when I have this image in my head, and especially talking about gospel advancement, you know, we're not retreating, we're not running away,
right?
You know, so I'm holding this sword,
right?
You know, and I'm holding it firmly and confidently, and I'm moving forward.
That's great.
And so that is the place that I need to be at all times. I'm not always there. Gonna be real, you know, I'm not always there. But that is definitely the place that I strive to get back to every time that I am not in that place, because there is so much freedom. And when we have a confidence in the Lord and we are carrying that sword and we know what we stand on and we are standing firm and we are able to advance and move forward.
Right.
And so as we carry that sword, I can step into any conversation. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of any of the circumstances I may be put in and who's around me. And, oh, they're going to think I'm weird because I'm the only Christian. And, oh, what's the conversation going to sound like? And, oh, what if they ask me about this? Oh, what if I have confidence in the Lord that I can be in those same spaces, even though I have completely different understanding of truth. And so I'm able to step in it and we all still love each other. You know, we're all still friends, but I can stand firm on truth in love, as we talked about, and move forward and advance and not be afraid of what people are going to think.
That's so good. I think about when you were talking, I kind of imagine in my mind, as you build relationship with people, and you're standing in those environments and people know who you are and what you stand for, right? Like in some way they know, like, go with this picture with me for a minute. Cause I'm like, I'm totally shooting from the hip here on this. Okay. Is they see and know that the sword is on your hip or it's in your hand and they know you enough to know that it's kind of like, don't make me use this.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like there's a confidence that you have in what you're holding in this sword, and the people around you know, she's not going to drop the sword on the ground.
Yeah.
Like there's a confidence that I have, and it's again, not to beat or harm somebody.
Right.
But it's also to know I'm not going to compromise the sword of the spirit because I know the truth. It's in my hand and I know it. And it's, you can walk into those situations, and as people know you, they can trust in that.
Yeah.
I think another, part of this I'm thinking about when we disciple people is, you know, there's a confidence that people would have if like following you, knowing that you're carrying a sword, that you know how to use it. Mm-hmm. Right. I think about that with my kids. We were sitting around the other night and one of my daughters had one of their friends there and we were talking on a pretty tense subject and I spoke truth into it and not my truth, God's truth.
Yeah.
And I was real clear and really strong. And my daughter's friend's eyes were kind of big. And she looked at her and said, look, if you're going to be here and around our family, just know, we always know where Dad stands. And we all kind of laughed and it was fine. And it was good. And it brought her on a really great, clear conversation. But I've tried to lead in a way in my home to where my kids, there's a comfort knowing.
Yeah.
And same thing with my wife, our kids have a comfort knowing Mom and Dad know how to wield the sword.
Yeah.
In a godly way, not perfect, but in a godly way. And so I think kind of that, what you were talking about is when I'm carrying that sword and I go into a situation, I can be confident with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, how do we help, you know, our listeners that maybe are going, well, what does that look like in my life? How do I do that? How do I, you know, learn to use this sword? What does that look like in my life using the sword of the spirit?
Yeah. I think at first my hand was a little shaky on my sword. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first started my relationship with the Lord and that's okay, but now it's a firm grip, right. You know? And so over time, the time that I've spent with him through prayer, through the reading of his word, through attending church services and paying attention, you know, and listening to his word that way, through being in small group with other people where we go into the word and see how to really live it out practically with one another. Those things like have all contributed to my hand being firm on that sword and not shaky anymore.
Yeah. That's so good. There is no substitute for repetition. There's no substitute for living and walking in it. And the more that we do, I love that, the tighter our grip gets and it's not going to fall on the ground. And to understand that the way the kingdom advances, I mean, this is what Paul is giving to us, is that we step into those areas that are dark. Yeah. We don't compromise and back this idea that we know, let's lay the sword down and we go sit down and we kind of like give this image of a soldier abandoning that front line in the war. That's what compromise and backing down does. It doesn't make the enemy, if you will, the spiritual forces go, oh, okay, and we all get along. That, no, there's eternity at stake. Lives are at stake at this. Yeah. And so we have to stand firm of how we speak into the darkness is with this sword and knowing that that's what the light's what chases it away.
Yeah.
So if a person, say, is really struggling with their own confidence in whether or not they're saved, or they're struggling with doubt, or they're struggling with fear, any of those things, that somebody, we can step in that relationship with the sword and go, no, in a loving way, here's what truth is. Mm-hmm. And that's us using the sword. And sometimes it may, like you said, kind of wound, but we're there to help them and help them walk through that. Or sometimes it's a word of encouragement.
Yeah.
That people are, you know, down or discouraged, and we can speak truth into that and go, no, this is who you are. No, this is who God is.
Yeah.
And help build them up. Well, I hope, you know, for all, everybody that's listening, and just this whole principle, the sword of the spirit, to go to that and to look at it and to say, you know, this is something that I can use. And I love, Lori, what you said, that we learn to have a firm grip on that sword. And because the world around us needs that, our families need that, our churches need that. Well, thank you for everybody just listening. And again, just want to encourage you to share this with friends and family. And we look forward to our next series that we're going to be launching. And I'm going to keep it a surprise for everybody. And hopefully that you all look for that and tune in and catch our next series. Well, God bless you all.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Get Real podcast today. My hope each and every week is that you're able to take the content, apply it to your life, that it becomes more of who you are and less of what you do, and that we live an intentional life together. If you're interested in supporting the work of ministry here at Real Life Texas, we'd like to invite you to do that by going to reallifetexas.org/give and supporting us today.